Reading of scriptures, attending the churches or the temples is the elementary step, no doubt. But that is not the end all, I say. We have to make the best of what you learn in the holy scriptures. We have to live up to it and see those experiences, have those experiences which they had in our own lives. Unless when we go to the church, what we say, there is a God. Oh God, have mercy on us, that's all right. Scriptures all say so, there is a God. But have we seen God? That's the point. Unless we see Him, we have got some experience of the great reality, we are not convinced. To see things is something else, to understand is something else, and to read scriptures only, that is something else. So all we are to make the best use of all these things until we come up to the point to see the reality with our own eyes. As all great saints who came in the past, they did say in their holy scriptures like that, "Behold the Lord. God is seen everywhere. That inner eye has to open with which He is seen. That is the third eye in each man. That is called Shivaneta in the Sanskrit scriptures and the Nukta Sad in the Mohammedans. So that inner eye has to be opened." So he said, this is what all men are doing. And in this delusion, I would say, the end comes all at once and the man is cut off. The inner dweller of the house is gone. He has been pursuing all along in connection with the body and intellectual attainments. But he has not known himself, so when the time comes all at once to leave the body, he is in a nonplussed condition. He doesn't know what to do. He simply repents, just sheds tears and passes off. That's all. So Guru Arjuna says, well, look here, in this life of delusion as you are following, what you should do. He says, just attend, have the company of somebody who is awakened, who has known himself, who sees the reality with his own eyes. You should attach yourself, have the company of that particular saint before you. What will you gain thereby? You will learn how he has known himself. He will give you first an experience of the self and of yourself. How little it may be, there is no question of quantum, but you will have some experience of the beyond, of your own self and of the old self. If you know that you have that thing in your life now, so by first hand experience what you get at the time when he initiates you into the beyond, you can develop that experience from day to day under proper guidance and help. So he says, well, while leading as a man, you should contact somebody who has got, who is awakened, so to say, and who has got first hand knowledge of his own self. Not in theory, but practically he has analyzed himself to see what he is, and he sees over self with his inner eyes. So that is the way how you can also say, make the best use of your human life. If you do contact such like personality, you will enjoy this life and afterlife both. Then he says, Dutyar, O man, you had come to make the best use of the life. You see? What does it profit a man if he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses one's own soul? Our pursuits in connection with the body and other intellectual ways, that will be only helping factor, but not the end-all, be-all in life. The end-all and be-all of life is to know one's own self and the over self. So he says, well, look here, you have come in the world to know yourself. You have been given the body of a man in which you have got the golden opportunity to know yourself and to know ourselves in the company of somebody who has known himself. The man who has known himself, he will only be able to give you, enable you to know yourself. For instance, if you come to a compounder, he will give you so many recipes given by so many eminent doctors, but he won't be able to make you a doctor. Only a doctor will make you a doctor. Similarly, those who have got only literary knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, they will be able to give you the literary knowledge, different how they got it, this and that thing. They have not seen the reality with their own eyes, and you won't be able to see that reality unless the man who has seen the reality, he does give you some experience of it. So he enjoins, while as a man, you may remain in any social body you are there, you are welcome to remain over there, but know yourself. Naturally, you will come to know yourself when you come in contact with somebody who has known himself. This is a thing which has been impressed by all saints who came in the past. Maulana Rum, a great Mohammedan saint, he says, look here, if you want to make a pilgrimage of God, what should you do? You should just accompany a man who has already done the pilgrimage of God. He has seen the place. If you just go along with him, you need not even read the Holy Scriptures, because he has seen the place about which the Holy Scriptures speak of. He simply leads you there. He daily goes over there. He will also lead you there. Who should be a such pilgrim? He says, let him be a Hindu or a Mohammedan or an Arabic or anybody, A, B or C. That doesn't matter. You want to be a doctor, you say. Is it not necessary the doctor should be a Hindu or a Mohammedan? He should be a doctor. Full knowledge of the physical body. Those who have got that knowledge, naturally in their company, you will know that very knowledge yourself practically. So first and foremost thing is just to seek the company of somebody who has got the first knowledge of himself and your own self. Name him by any name you like, where he lives, whether he is in India or abroad or America or Europe, that doesn't mind. He may belong to Christians, he may have been born in Hindus, he may have been born in Sikhs, or Zoroastrians, or anywhere. The man who has got the personal experience inside, only such man is wanted to be contacted, with only to have the contact with him. So he presses the heart, look here, you have come to just make the best bargain out of a man's life. What does it profit a man if he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses one's own soul? So soul life, science of the soul, that you have to study and have it. What are you doing? He said, you are just engaged in very trifling matters. To awaken man, all these things become trifling. They do follow these lives, I mean. They do not educate to lead the life, worldly life, and go out. But they do say, as comparatively, soul life is the highmost. That's the main subject or the main mission of one's life, to know oneself. Why are you engaged in so trifling things? He says, you have come to know yourself and know God. Then what are you doing? For the sake of satisfying your appetites, you are killing. Kill not. This is what Christ, this is one of the 12 commandments. This is also one of the commandments of the Buddha and almost every other saint. Kill not. So you are after killing everyone. He says they are just as you are, they have got life in them, their feelings, why you injure their feelings? The one living in you is also residing in that one as well. So you must have, in your love for God, you must have love for all creation. To love God means to love humanity and to love all creation. If you love, you have love for God and no love for the creation, or for humanity, do you mean, is it love of God? No, not the least. So this is what he is pressing here. They are just like as you people are, So just behave. One great commandment, kill not, strike not. Lead a life of non-violence in mind, word and deed. This is first thing. The point is God lives in everywhere and you love Him, the same love lives in everybody. You must behave that body as also as God, you see, God is already existing there. These are the commandments which we are not caring for, and there is trouble arising from day to day. Further he says, if you want to liberate yourself, to know yourself, to fulfill the great mission before you, you simply do something just to contact with somebody who has known himself and yourself. What will he do? He will simply contact you with the divinity already existing in you. He will invert, he will show you how to invert inside and contact the divine word already in you. This word is a connecting link between man and God. In the beginning was the word. Word was with God and word was God. So that power, whole world, there was no world when there was word, you see. The same thing has been expressed by all other saints in their own ways, by expressing in their own words, but there is a God in action power, you might say. Just to understand. That God in action power lives in everybody, and that is the support of our life in all creation. If we invert and contact with that, that is the way back to God. Expression of that divine word in two ways. One, you see the light within and you hear the sound current within. And these are the two ways back of the same God. And the expression of one reality supporting all creation. So his job, that divine man, I would say, are this master soul who is competent to give you an experience of that divine word within you. He will open your inner eyes, you will see the light within, you will require no testimony for that. Because when you see things for your own self, where the necessity of a further testimony? Man is fully convinced. So this is the qualification of the saint given by Kabir. In all else, Kabir says, who is competent to remove that curtain from your eyes to enable you to see the light of God within and enable you to hear the voice of God reverberating throughout all creation. Such a competent man is expressed by the word saint. Nowadays we take saints as simply well-versed in literature or holy scriptures. Well, saints don't define a man in that way, saint in that way. Who has got the practical experience of the higher self, of his own self and the over self, and is competent to give others that divine contact, only such a man is termed as saint. In the words of the teachers, mankind, who came in the past. Now he says, look here, this body which you are wearing on, that you have believed someday. For this maintenance of this body, you got outer buildings. Well, look here, you have to leave this body one day, all the outer environments in one day. Where you are, after all, when you leave, you have to go somewhere, where you do not know. If you know how to leave this body in a conscious state, you will be able to know two things. One, how to transcend the body, leave the body at will. At the time of death, you have to simply shake off this body, that's all. Saint Plutarch says, as at the time of death a soul has experiences, at the time of death, those very experiences a man has when he is just initiated into the beyond. Man has to analyze oneself. At the time of death, soul leaves the body. And the Master does teach you how to transcend the mind the very first day. Where the world philosophy is ended, there the true religion starts. The true religion means way back to God, starts from where you transcend the body, you see. So he says, look here, the house, the dwelling house in which you live, in this body, this is the dwelling house you live in, that you have lived someday. And you are engaged the whole time in maintaining this body and its environment, and knowing nothing about yourself, who you are and what you are. I remember an incident at Lahore when I was in Lahore in India. One grown-up child of a man, gentleman died and they took his corpse to the cremation place. They asked me to give a talk at the time. I told them, well, look here, the subject matter of your sermon at this moment is just lying before you. Here is something which has left this body, and this is dead body now. And that very thing still exists in you. Are you prepared for this change? If you are prepared, well and good. If not, just do that. This is the subject, you see, before us as a man problem. We have to solve it. In the company of the saints, they give us the very first experience how to transcend the body. Their ABC starts only from there. Not in reading of the scriptures only. These are the elementary steps. Not alone attending the holy places of the different sects. These are the elementary steps. The whole thing starts from there. These are the way, paving the road to spirituality, you might say. Spirituality does not mean in following only the rituals and forms of the sects, but it only consists know oneself, to know the science of the soul, direct, to know oneself and know self. This is strictly speaking this what spirituality denotes. But we have confounded it with only the observance of the outer forms and rituals. I have regard for those, because those are the elementary steps. A man reading the first class of the third primary, naturally he has to have recourse to the books and everything. But when he is grown up, he becomes the master of arts, he doesn't need any pen or paper to write on, to start with. So these are the elementary steps. We have regard for those things. And you are fortunate, you stand somewhere. But I would only ask you to be sincere. To be sincerely after what those teachings, those saints, those sects tell us to do. They all enjoin to lead a clean, chaste life. They all enjoin to have a life worth living, you see. Just be of help to man, all humans, serve all humanity. So that is to be followed. First, the ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. But that is also the way leading up to spirituality. The Master's enjoin very impressively, I say, well, look here, you are a man, you have to leave this body someday. Are you doing anything to know yourself by self-analysis? If you do that, this thing of death is gone. You have no fear of death. Because you have passed that stage, what is called death. You daily die and go up. Did not Saint Paul say, I die daily? Every saint who came to pass, they did say so. This is a science, old science, but we have forgotten, unfortunately, I would say. So Guru Arjuna here enjoins that thing. He looks here, look here, this body you have to leave someday. Why not just turn your attention to the one who is leaving the body, who is living in the body, you see. If you know yourself, that is the knowing of the self, of the inner man. We know outer self, no doubt. We all know, we are, as it were, become the outer self. We have no knowledge of the inner man left. But without that, man is nowhere. Time must come no exception to the rule, one has to leave the body and go. At the time he will be nonplussed. Oh, where is he going? Who is going? He simply sheds tears and repents and goes. That's all. Would it not be better if in this life, very life, have the same experience of the beginning, in the company of those who have that experience and are competent to give you that experience? So this is what he is enjoining. He says, wherever you have to go after leaving the body, you have to go somewhere. Where you have to go, if you have got experience of that, of the beyond, even now, I think at the time of death, you would say like Kabir, the word that you see, throws awe, you see fear into the mind of everybody. But Kabir says, when I hear the name of death, I am overjoyed. Why? He says, I got experience of the beyond. I die daily, hundreds of times in a day. So this is subject matter before us. This is what Guruji and all other saints have been enjoying. Mahamunis also, they say, die before you die. This is what Christ also said. Except ye be born anew, you cannot have this, see the kingdom of God. This is to be born anew into the beyond. Whosoever shall lose this life shall save it, and whosoever shall save this life shall lose it. The reference is always there. I am telling you, as I have already said, no new thing, but at least the revival of the old truth, which we have forgotten, and that requires revival. Father says, now as it were, can we transcend the body at will? That's the question further arises. He says, yes. When? How? When you meet some master, sit at the feet of some master who has that experience and is competent to give you some experience at the very start. We can leave the body even now, at will. This may appear as a rigmarole now, but is a hard fact. All saints in the past have given up that way, and even now, with the grace of my Master at whose feet I had the good fortune to sit, this experience can be had. Even now, with His grace, science cannot die out, this remains as ever. Then he says, can anybody help us in having this experience? He says, look here, all through the world he says he has sought for such a personality, here, there and everywhere, but he found the feet of the Master only where he could learn this subject, had the first experience of analyzing oneself and ourselves. So this is subject matter, one for all as a man. The mystery of life has to be solved irrespective to whatever cause, creed or color we belong. That makes no difference. We are born in the same way, all leave the body in the same way. All endowed with the same privileges from God. It is not that for one sect you have got one privilege, for others there, not equally. There is no difference between color or race, nothing of this sort. You are all men. Man has the same conception outside and inside. It is not that Hindus have got four eyes and the Christians have not got two. All have got two eyes. The same intellect, the same mind, the same outgoing faculties, and the same soul. Simply they have to liberate their soul from the bondage of mind and matter and know oneself in life. If they do so in the company of somebody who knows it, who is living that life and is competent to give you personal experience of that life, in his company you will also be able to experience that way. So this has been the subject before us ever since the world began, and I told you just now, we have been forgetting this much. Saints have been coming from time to time to revive this old truth. Again, when they went away, dwelling human, we forgot it. Even today we stand in the same way. You see, ever since the world began, when it started, well, nobody knows, I would say, there's some estimation of the fact, some 4 billions or something like that the world began. But that is only an estimate of the world after the last, what you say, dissolution. There have been so many dissolutions and great dissolutions, who knows when the world started. Ever since then we have been separated from God. God is all consciousness and we are conscious entities. We have been away from the source, from aeons and aeons about which you do not know. As a man you have got this, your turn to retrace your way back, to regain your last godhood, I would say. And man is the golden opportunity you got in the body of man to have that thing now. Those who have got now, they can be fully convinced, otherwise they simply, you rely on the promises you will have in the other life. Well, what is the proof whether you will get it or not? So saints do not advocate that. They say if you are now a learned man, even after that you will remain learned. And if you are now a illiterate man, can you become a learned man after your death? So bird in hand is better than two in the bush. You see? Have that life, even as a man, even now you can have it. Of course, for that thing, the great first and foremost necessity would be to meeting some personality who's got the first and experience of it and is competent to give you that experience. Call that man by any name you like. That can be in Hindus, can be in Christians, can be in any social forms. That makes no difference. But the reality is one, man is one. Outer and inner constitution is the same. All are endowed with the same privileges. The point is we have developed in one way physically and intellectually, and we have not developed spiritually. To make the best use of a man's life is to develop spiritually as well. We should progress all round. Be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. You have to be perfect all round. You have dwelt physically, intellectually, and now if you dwell also spiritually, you will be near perfection. This is the message which I have brought from the east. I will tell you, as a man to man, I would not say that I have got some very brilliant man come from above, falling from the sky. I am man like you. But fortunately, I have to sit at the feet of somebody, some great soul, my master, who had the experience of this, and he gave me that experience. And with his grace, the people coming in contact, they are having that experience. Those who are really after, anywhere they may be situated, that makes no difference. The man who has to learn, say, medicine, he has to qualify for that. Even a Hindu can join it, a Mohammedan, a Christian, he may belong to any society life, but if he does qualify to join that medical college, any and everybody can join it. Similarly, this way, the man who would like to have this, a personal experience of the self and the over self, he has to qualify for that, and that qualification consists in leading a pure and chaste life, clean life, a life of non-violence, of truth, and love for all humanity and selfless service. This is the qualification required of a man who would like to follow, grasp or have the personal experience of the higher self within. And then that can be had in this very life. We are not to wait till after death. This was the subject today before you. This is no new subject again, I would just say, old Lord science, which all saints who came in the past, they had experience of it. Whoever came in contact with them, they gave them experience. They dwelt wonderfully. Even now, if you come across any personality with that experience who is competent to give you that.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the last 30 minutes of Master's talk called The Path of the Masters. It was given on June 21st, 1955, at the Friends Meeting House in Washington, D.C. Our reader today is Rick Casey.
Hello. I will be reading today from the September 1973 issue of Sat Sandesh, a talk that was given at Sawan Ashram called The Ineffable Story. There is no greater aim or goal for the soul when it is born into the human species than to rejoin the Lord, to make its way back to its source via the holy pathway. This has been the ultimatum of all great masters who came to earth to help mankind realize this very aim. Having received the good fortune of the human birth, which is the highest form of all the species, this is man's most important task in life. To achieve this end, we must first seek the company of one who has already achieved his goal and has realized the Lord. A man with but empty words is of no use in this sphere of work. Likewise, success will not be met if, having found the master soul, one does not obey his instructions. When all the masters tell us that God is indescribable, he cannot be expressed in words, and mere speeches therefore are of no avail, then how can the Lord be realized? It is a subject concerning experience through actual contact, and is not a subject for merely repeating or memorizing in parrot-like fashion certain words uttered in some worldly language. Don't take the name of God in vain, but take it with some purpose in view. It is a subject of contact. But who is to experience that contact? The soul. The soul at present is under the mind's influence, and the mind is under the influence of the senses, which in turn are being dragged around by the sense objects through enjoyment. The result is that the soul has become the very image of the body and has forgotten its true nature. Until it awakens unto itself, how can it meet the Lord? Reunion with God can only happen to the soul. As long as the soul is under the control of the senses, the mind, the intellect, the pranas, vital airs, it can never meet the Lord. So God is experienced by the soul, but we are all embodied souls. And until we come to know and recognize our true selves through analyzing ourselves from mind, body, and senses, we will not meet the Lord. This is why all the masters have stressed the importance of self-knowledge. For in fact, self-knowledge is akin to God-knowledge. After taking the important step of self-knowledge, then God-knowledge becomes attainable. There are no means of knowing God without the soul awakening, becoming aware of, and knowing itself. It is often said that man cannot live by bread alone. That is only food for the physical body. Similarly, reading, writing, and thinking help to develop the intellect. To feed the soul, however, one must have contact with God, without which the soul will never gain strength. For this, the masters have introduced certain spiritual practices. On awakening in the early morning, one must sit in remembrance of the Lord and meditate upon the Nam. In this way, the soul is fed before the body, but people prefer to feed only the body or the intellect, and usually the soul gets nothing. Consequently, the soul becomes weaker and weaker, is fearful and tremulous. The whole being becomes filled with fear. Know that the soul is the entity of God. It is a child of the lion, for God is above fear. He is valiant, intrepid. When the soul is the Lord's entity, and its nature therefore is also fearless, then why is man so full of fear? Simply because the soul is not conscious of its true nature. It never gets its food, the bread and water of life. The masters say that our first job is to feed the self, to know the self, to become strong in the self, and then do other work. As a test, just sit calmly and quietly, and you will realize that the strength for the whole of one's being comes through the soul. For example, to take physical exercise, one must place one's attention on that, and then the body gets strength to act. Similarly, if you turn your attention to intellectual activity, you will gain intellectual strength. If the attention is not focused at all, the senses will not work, and the body will not function. So the actual source of one's strength is within one's own self, the true self. Attention or power is a great power, but because we have never fed the soul since we came into this human body, we are spiritually weak. What then is the food of the soul? The soul is a drop of all consciousness, and therefore should have gotten connected to the greater consciousness, the Oversoul. Through that connection, the soul's strength would have increased magnificently, instead of which the little strength it had was scattered in various directions in the outer attractions, and depletion naturally follows. Soul has the same nature and caste as Sat Nam. It is the child of the Lord, a prince of the emperor, and therefore no small personality. However, by existing in outer expression only, it has receded from the truth. These are facts which cannot be readily seen by reading and writing on the subject. Realization of the truth can only come with experience. While the attention, which is the soul or sruti, is not withdrawn from outer entanglements, it is not possible for it to realize the Lord. To extricate oneself from this predicament, one must go to one who has already freed himself. A man who has actually seen something will not waste his time on mere idle talk about the subject. This means that God realization cannot be achieved in any form of academic education, though that might help one to understand to a certain extent. When Kabir Sahib met a certain eminent pundit, he asked him, "How can your mind and my mind become one? I speak of what I have seen, and you speak of what you have read. How can one who has never seen anything reveal the inner truth to others. So the wisdom in keeping the company of him who gained knowledge through experience, experience of the indescribable Lord, who cannot be defined, is very obvious. This is not a matter of social bodies. We are talking of the embodied soul. Regardless of one's religion, there is but a single answer to this question, as there must be to any question. What is God? He cannot be seen. He is beyond sight, is imperceptible to the senses and mental faculties. His attributes are inexpressible, beyond description. Remember that reading, writing, thinking are all at the level of intellect, and so one must rise above these in order to experience him. In the Upanishads, it states that when the senses are stilled and the mind and intellect is also still, then the soul perceives the truth. Come, beloved saints, let us tell of the ineffable story. It is only those who have realized this truth who can say, come, beloved friends, and sit together. We will tell the story of that which is beyond all description. Here, the story means the true facts. It is not a fictional novel. The facts can only be told by the people who know them. That is why a saint is one who has seen the Lord. Therefore, if one sits with the saint, one will also be able to understand him and ultimately to see him. In the company of the saint, the Lord is seen within. The name of the Lord becomes sweeter. A man who cannot see will say that such things do not exist. Brothers, the soul does rise above body consciousness, and there is light within, but the man who has never left the body and has never seen the inner light will say that it is all madness. So this is a subject of seeing. Listen to the saint's true words. He speaks of what he has seen. Saints never speak from hearsay or merely repeat what they have read. They speak of what they have seen through inner experience. The subject is known by realized souls, not by intellectuals, and only the realized soul can tell of how he realized the Lord and how the rest of humanity can do the same. Come, beloved saints, let us tell of the ineffable story. Tell the story of the ineffable and how he can be realized. He, the saint, is calling all realized souls together. And what other subject would they speak of but the story of the ineffable Lord? Just as intoxicated people sit together and discuss intoxicants, so God-realized people talk of nothing but the Lord. This is called satsang, the company of the truth, where nothing is spoken of but God or those who have realized him. If, for instance, four drunkards sit together, all differences of caste and religion will be thrust aside and forgotten, and in their intoxication, they will embrace each other, for there will be no conflict. When great people come into the world, they leave their footprints behind. They leave the message of their own realization, and they show the way to realization. Tell the story of the ineffable and how he can be realized. Give unto the Guru body, mind, wealth, and obey his commands. Body, mind, and wealth must be surrendered to the Guru, and to follow his instructions implicitly is imperative for success. Having surrendered all unto him, There is no question of the body being too tired for meditation, etc. If he says, sit for 2 hours, then sit for 2 hours. When Raja Janak received initiation from his guru, Ashtavakra, he was asked to give these three things. Giving the body does not mean you give it away, but one must keep it as the guru desires, pure and clean, and do not use it for mere enjoyment, and one must sit in meditation. Whether your heart is in it or not, you have given your body up to his commandments, so follow them. Raja Janak agreed to surrender his body, mind, and wealth, and Ashtavakra told him to go and sit among the shoes at the back of the huge court. It was a difficult task for the ego of the king to submit to such a lowly action before so many of his subjects. Pride and ego are very bad traits, you see, but it was his master's order, and he had to do it. Having given one's word, then where does hesitation or question enter into the matter? One must simply obey. But such people are very rare who obey implicitly. Secondly, one should consider whatever wealth and possessions one has to belong to the guru. Christ told the fishermen to leave everything and follow him. Take your belongings and go with the saint. Leave the poisonous entanglements behind. Usually the guru will not tell you to leave home and family, but instead teaches you to live with everything, knowing it all belongs to him. We should be attached to nothing and entangled in nothing. This is what he means by giving up one's wealth. His third injunction is to give up the mind. Mind is sold to the guru. Then all the server's actions will bear fruit. He who gives his mind to the guru will never need to worry and debate over his actions. Janak, powerful king that he was, readily obeyed his guru. Forgive me, but a little praise renders us reluctant to humble ourselves before others. We prefer that others should bow before us. Such thinking must all be pushed aside. Leave all concern for the world's opinions, and likewise the opinions of one's family. See for yourself what you really want, what your true aim is. Ask yourself why you have come here. Have you come to realize God or for some other purpose? How did the masters achieve God realization? By putting all other considerations as secondary. Those who are enamored of the worldly opinions will remain empty of spiritual wealth. Those who have the Lord's intoxication, who know of the ineffable story, will sit in mutual affection, gazing into each other's eyes. Only those who have not got this realization will indulge in religious conflict. There are those who give their wealth to the master, but they are few. For most people would rather give the skin off their bodies than to part with even a small sum. They will declare that they are prepared to obey anything, but on the question of money, to help the poor or any other worthy cause, they cannot afford to give. However, for their personal requirements or their family needs, the money magically appears and flows like water. There are many who will not give to a spiritual cause or to help those in dire need, but remember, whatever sacrifice a person makes, so will he receive in turn. Surrender of the physical form means living a pure and chaste life with good actions. Remove yourself from immorality. Let all your physical actions be guided by the commands of the Guru. He He has commanded you to sit in meditation. Do not dye your body in the immoral colors. As for wealth, repeat the Nam and share your food. And remember this, that whosoever achieved realization did so through sacrifice. Do you know how Kabir Sahib gave realization to Dhani Dharam Das? He was a millionaire, but he gradually spent everything in his search for the truth. After many years of searching without success, having spent all his fortune in the process, he finally decided to commit suicide by jumping into the river. But at the crucial moment, Kabir appeared to him. You can say that this is true sacrifice. When King Janak had taken his place at the rear of the court among the shoes, Ashtavakra asked him, "Where are you sitting?" The king replied, "I am sitting in this lowly place." Ashtavakra wanted the king to admit his present lowly status. He then said, "You have given all your wealth, rank, and possessions to me, so stop your mind dwelling on these things." The king found this very difficult, so he closed his eyes to shut out the vision of his surroundings. When this was not effective, he also closed his ears to prevent the distraction of the many sounds around him. But constant habit becomes like nature, and the mind continued to dwell on his outer life, his court, palace, his queens, his army, and so on. Again and again, he would tell himself that he had given all these things away, and his mind would withdraw a little. The tug of war between the soul and the mind went on for some time, until eventually Ashtavakra asked him, "Where are you at present?" Janak replied that he was like a crow flying across a vast ocean, finding no dry place upon which to perch. Ashtavakra told him, "You have given away your mind, so do not fraternize with it. Think now with the Guru's thoughts only, not your own. Still the mind." King Janak was competent in all yogic practices, and with the strength of his Guru's order, he stilled his mind for a while, and the inner path was open for him through the attention of his Guru. The light was revealed within, and he heard the sound vibrating. On completion of this experience, Ashtavakra asked King Janak, "Have you received the knowledge?" The king replied, "Yes, Maharaj, I have received the knowledge." The receiver must admit that he has received something. There are those who will say, "Go, child, you have got salvation. Your seat in Sat Lok has been reserved." But brothers, what have you received? What have you experienced? That's the point. If you have already received something, I rejoice with you. If not, go and search until it is given to you. The true master gives away some capital with which to start the spiritual journey. The saint has given me some capital. This capital is given through their grace. With their life impulse, they give the true devotion. Through applying their life impulse, they rejoin the soul to the Lord with devotion. Sometimes it happens that at the time of receiving, the receiver is unsure of what he has received, especially if the experience is minute. Nevertheless, with daily contact, according to the master's instructions, that will show increase every day, thereby reassuring the initiate that he has received some experience and is on the true path. Having admitted that he had received the experience, King Janak was told by his guru, "This body, mind, and wealth are returned to you as a parshad, gift of grace from a guru. Use them all in my name. Do not misuse anything.
It is very rare to find anyone who gives complete obedience to his guru. Even those who are willing to give over their bodies are very hard to find. We can obey the guru just as much as the mind permits. We can do as much spiritual work as the mind permits. How then will we realize that ineffable one? We should live pure and chaste lives, having no bad thoughts about others. We should become embodiments of the truth in thought, word, and deed. God is in every being, so we should love everyone and hate no one. Share the woes and trials of others. Share your food with the hungry person. The guru is he who brings forth light in the darkness within the human being. He gives this light as a free gift to live in the human form without seeing the light of God within is a waste of a human life. It is a life without real meaning. Of what use is a tree that does not bear fruit? The light of God is not manifest in you. It is a waste of precious human birth. Without a thought, you give food to the body. So why not feed the soul also? Nam is the soul's food. Nam is the perpetual flow of God, which is all light, all completeness, indestructible, indivisible, and perfect. And that flow is forever on its course. When joined to this flow, the soul will get its daily food. This is the guru's work, to rejoin the soul to this ever-flowing source. So obey him. When Guru Amar Das wanted to select the capable disciples from among his followers, he devised a test. Remember, masters always test their followers, each in his own methods. These tests are for the advanced disciples, those who have advanced by the master's grace, and usually they are not aware of what is happening. Guru Amar Das told his disciples to each make a raised platform out of mud, and they were all willing and anxious to begin. We are usually quick to jump and obey, but how long can we keep it up? When they had each made one platform, he inspected them and decided they were not satisfactory and should be made again. They all remade them, and when the master inspected the work, he told them that they were still not satisfactory, that the clay was not the right type and should be brought from another place. This was done, and the platforms were remade. Again, the guru declared that they were not right, and the disciples remade them once, twice, thrice more. When Guru Amar Das inspected the platforms again, he was still not satisfied and told his disciples that they should change the site and shift all the clay to a different place and there remake the platforms again. When they got to the new site and the clay was moved there, the remaking started again. Again and again, the guru rejected the work once, twice, 12 times. Again, the site was changed and the clay carried over. You may wonder how many disciples were left doing the work. Very few. One by one, they had left until only Jethaji remained. Jethaji later became Guru Ram Das when he succeeded Guru Amar Das. But at the time of the story, Guru Amar Das was over 120 years of age, and the people who saw Jethaji faithfully doing his work told him, "Why waste your time like this? Your guru has become old and senile. He is not in his full senses. He tells you to make and remake these platforms again and again. Is this the action of a sensible man?" When he heard these words, Jethaji cried. He was a soul of no small enlightenment, and could see the light of God working in his guru. He could not bear to hear people speaking of him thus. Through his tears he said, "Brothers, you do not understand. The whole world's thinking may be wrong, but never my guru's. For he is the only one, the God-realized guru. If he tells me to make and remake these platforms my whole life through, it will be a joy to do so, for I want only to obey his orders." Well, I have come to the end of my time, and I was reading from the September 1973 Satsandesh, The Ineffable Story. Thank you, Master, for everything.
Thank you, Rick, for reading Master's beautiful words. There were 75 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for bringing us together to strengthen our bonds of loving devotion to you.
So our Master tells us like that. They say you and that God power is both within this man body. And where are you? You are just identified with your world outside. Why don't you withdraw your attention from outside? He is waiting for you within you.